And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Show at 102.5/106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BHAB membership where the buzz is always about great service. I'm Joe Rexrode. You know, I've been on microphone one all week with Robbie Stanley and the family in Florida. Today we welcome back Paul Kaharsky to wrap up the week. Hi, Paul. How's it going, buddy?
Good morning, Chief. How we doing?
We're doing all right. You got your big pop there. That's very regrettable that you don't like coffee.
Nobody's calling it pop here. You know that. You make yourself sound like a foreigner.
We will call it pop.
We won't. Well, you will.
I mean, I don't care about you. I mean, you're going to die soon anyway. But I need the Nashville.
I'm going to die soon. This guy's walking around with one leg because of gout, and I'm going to die.
Well, I didn't say that I won't, but that's part of the legacy I want to leave, is that all of Nashville will use the word pop. Ian, how you doing?
I'm great. Happy Friday, everybody. Another beautiful sunrise today. Oh, and I failed the people yesterday. We are less than 1 week from preseason kickoff.
Oh, God. Don't be one of those guys that gets all
excited.
Wait,
why? What did you say yesterday?
Yesterday, I missed the 1 week. Yesterday was the one week from yesterday.
Gotcha. Don't be that guy.
There you go. Does that bother you?
Yes, it does. Okay. Football starts next week, and then we go all this time. Preseason football is not football. It's garbage.
Don't be a hater, Paul. Come on.
Yeah, I am a hater. Don't be a hater, Paul. Don't breathe, Paul.
I get it, but
preseason football is garbage.
You get to see them in the field, in their uniforms, on the field.
So is camp a thing? Does camp matter?
Like, it matters more than preseason games.
I mean,
Paul must not be a true football fan.
I mean, you tell me that, like. No, I disagree with you.
You get excited to sit down and watch a preseason football game?
No, I don't get excited about practice either. But I think that there's some interest in, like, if this offensive line plays together for a few series against another team, if another team's actually trying to tackle your quarterback and you play.
But, Joe, the game's 3 hours. There's going to be 20 minutes of interest.
I understand. But what you somehow are, like, putting practice over here and then preseason, I mean, it's all, like, good God, get me to football.
This marketing of football's back is nonsense. Football is back.
Right, but you're contradicting yourself. You're sitting there telling me, well, yeah, it is a big deal that practice is back.
I'm not saying it's a big deal. Oh, okay. It's a deal.
Okay. So it's a deal, and preseason games are no deal?
They're less important to the overall growth of a football team than two series.
Yeah, I mean, obviously preseason games have become crap. That said, yeah, I'll probably watch a little bit of the preseason game next week. I will watch, you know, the Titans games are, obviously, anybody who's into it.
They're a little bit more intriguing now because you're watching a rookie quarterback.
How much is he out of the game?
You excited to watch Tim Boyle play? Jeez.
No, but I mean, anybody who closely follows the Titans or any other team does wonder about fourth, fifth receiver, right? I mean, like, if you care enough about a football team to listen to this show, listen to other shows, subscribe to your site, read other Titans coverage, don't you think you care about, like, stuff like that too?
Yes, but what happens is the fourth quarter, a no-name running back goes off, and then for a week, this station will go crazy about that running back who ultimately will get cut. And that annoys me.
Julius Chestnut.
I was going to say, how dare you besmirch Julius Chestnut?
The guy below Julius Chestnut. The guy they signed the other day.
I'm very disappointed that this Michigan fan, who interns here, and I haven't met him in person, but he's been texting forever, he just said it's not pop, it's soda. Dude, turn in your Midwestern card. My goodness, Matthew from Jolton.
Maybe he's eager to do that. He went to Michigan. And he grew a worldly vision of life and has decided to expand. I coach these young ladies that are family friends. I coached them when they were pursuing college. Don't go into your interviews and say y'all and talk Southern. Act like you're a person of the world. They want worldly people at these schools, not little.
Okay. So hicks. You're comparing saying y'all to saying pop?
Yes.
Oh, you're a clown. Good completely God. Okay.
I watched this Tom Petty documentary last night. Have you seen this?
No. How is it?
It's a lot of footage of him during the recording of Wildflowers, and then they splice in a bunch of Rick Rubin and Mike Campbell and Benmont Trench talking about the experience of making this album. I thought it was pretty good. And while, I mean, if you like Petty and if you like Wildflowers, it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I like both. It's a sore spot in the home, Tom Petty, because, you know, when he came through Bridgestone in whatever 2017, I was like, yeah, let's get him next time.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, yeah. No, that I'll never live it down.
My brother started on that see them before they die thing. So like they go to everything to make sure they didn't. I was at that show and had seen them at least twice before that.
That's kind of like this show, seeing before they die. You know, me and you.
I'm not on a I'm going to die kick like you are. So well, I don't want to be lumped into this.
Just being ready, man. Just got a head on a swivel.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a lot of stuff we want to get to. My computer's freezing, so I can't even really read the schedule, but I have a general idea. First of all, let's just get into it. Just tell us, off top of your head, the prevailing impressions of this football team so far. You've seen them practice for 2 days.
Well, I mean, the first day was kind of a wash. Yesterday, the offense was bad, which means the defense was good.
It's good. Good defense.
I thought a little bit too much made of kind of the juice and the energy and everything. I heard Derek Mason talking about it, and I understand Derek Mason, what camp was for his Titans and that era. I think things have changed, you know, to a huge degree, and it's not necessarily better, but, you know, everything's a ramp up now and acclimatization and all of that, and so I think the context or the construct of early camp kind of limits some of the opportunities for the kind of juice he was looking for. They don't run receivers deep very much in the first couple days because they don't want hamstring strains, you know. And they're not doing exciting things per se.
The whole thing is way scaled back from when he was out there.
Yes. And so I think, you know, the limitations on juice. And then,
but Cam did say mid.
Yeah. Well, mid means it kind of the offense and defense canceled things out. So you got to keep that in mind. Like, for there to be a ton of juice at practice, usually one side's winning and chirping, and then the other side is trying to, like, fight back. And so yesterday you would say there's more juice because the defense was winning and the offense was losing. Monday, the first day, it was a wash because it was even. And an even practice tends to play out less excitedly, but isn't necessarily a bad thing. It means they kind of, it was even.
Yeah. I mean, some people, and I don't know if this is what D-Man is talking about, but I think some people still also look at general pace, right? And sometimes maybe even voices. I feel like if it's louder out there, it feels like it's more energetic, and maybe, you know, this is, although Brian Callahan, we'll get into his we'll get into his histrionics, but I mean, he's obviously not Vrabel when it comes to stuff like
and
that.
And I think,
right?
Some of the loudness,
there's no Kerry Coombs out there.
I think some of the loudness has gotten performative.
Sure.
From Jeff in particular. Like,
I knew you were going to. Well, I can't believe
I'm going to be loud.
There's no way we were going to get through this first segment without you ripping Jeff. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to be loud, and that's me leading.
Right.
You know, that was the theme of minicamp. So I don't particularly care if there's noise in that fashion. I mean, I care if there's communicative noise in terms of guys making sure they're in the right spot or reviewing things or whatever. So, I mean, it wasn't a fascinating 2 days by any means. It'll ramp up. It's unfortunate they're not going to be in pads tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. There will be red zone work, so that should be somewhat interesting,
yeah.
You know, given the confines of what they're doing. But they won't be in pads until next week. I think it's day 4, day 5. Again, because of this built-in ramp up that is so important to them, the league, in terms of trying to ease back on early injuries.
Okay, give me one person who has stood out to you.
Tajay Spears looks fast. I think Ward does a good job of getting the ball into his hands on plays that are meant for him and on checkdowns so far, and I think he's looked nifty, if you will. And I've been a big proponent of Spears getting the ball in space, and these are throws. I don't know if he looks trimmer or fitter or what, but he looks fast.
I mean, he wasn't. He didn't need to trim down.
No.
So he's just maybe just healthier, right? A little more explosive.
Faster.
Okay. That's a consistent theme so far that we've seen from different coverage this week, so that's interesting. By the way, Matthew from Jolton says, Joseph, I was born in Nashville. I've just always been a Michigan fan. Good God. Get out of here. I mean, I'm going to jump on your bandwagon, PK, with this. He's trying to win favor with me. He said, you should have won Jerry versus Joe based on the whole Brian Callahan half thing. It's too late, Matthew. It's too late. You're ripping on Pop, and you are a Nashvilleian.
You know what he was,
who decides
though,
to be a Michigan fan.
When Ohio State was winning, he was an Ohio State fan.
He's got like one now of those Buckeye Michigan, Michigan
now
hats.
Now that Michigan's got a thing going, he really, really likes the maize and blue.
And we're all going to say Pop. I don't care. I'm going to keep saying it.
You keep
and
saying
I promise
we're
you
all going to do it, but nobody's on board with you. So you're never, it's really ridiculous that you're saying we're all going to do it.
You're never going to please.
I got to say,
you can please all the people some of the time.
We're all going to praise the Jersey Shore for the rest of the thing. But by we, I mean me.
That, as I say Pop, there will be a great. It's like the Pied Piper. The Pied Popper is what I'm going to call myself, okay? All right, we come back. I have some, I like to just basically have PK see if he'll join my grievances, so I've got one for him to ponder. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 the game. There we go. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Great jam. One of my favorite petty jams right there. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie. I'm trying to find this. It's like we have a segment, and then I'm going to talk about something, and then I totally
forget it.
I'm not prepared. But I do. I need. There was some discussion about this. I actually made it a rant. I thought a pretty good rant about this media policy, which, again, it's like if it's a formality that they just failed to have in their – in their written policy before, okay, whatever, that's fine. But if it's actually any sort of true attempt to tell media, guys, if you need to talk to anybody in here, you need to go through PR first. I'm sorry. That's absurd, beyond absurd. So you tell me what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it's for new people or people trying to get to Brinker or Nihil or Borgonzi or Callahan separate of PR, but it doesn't have any bearing on any pre-existing relationships by any means. I thought you made too big a deal out of it.
Well, reading it infuriates me. I'm sorry. No. I mean, you can't tell me how I should feel, Paul.
I can't.
No, you can't. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but that's how I feel. I think I read it, and it's ridiculous. It's laughable.
Sure, it reads ridiculous, but how is it put into practice? It's not.
Okay. Okay. Well,
it hasn't been a factor for me, and you know I'd be the first one to have an issue with it. Nothing's changed for me.
So you think young people, essentially just trying to like.
I don't know. It's a protection clause. Who's young in Nashville trying to go beyond and get in touch with Mike Borgonzi? Nobody.
How do you know?
Who's the last person to come into Nashville, cover the Titans, and break through in having relationships with Titans executive?
So you tell me, okay. So you're telling me that you don't think anybody who covers the Titans ever talks to anybody?
I think there are a handful of us that do, and I think nobody else even thinks to try.
Okay. So when you say come into Nashville, I mean, the Tennesseans had a bunch of new beat writers since Jimmy Wyatt left. So,
Nick Suss has been at it for several years.
Couple. Yeah.
There are four or five of us that attempt to do the job, and yeah, so nobody else gives a damn.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, look, I guess to me, it's like I read it, and I'm like, is there somebody in the front office there who's like, we need to I can't have these reporters texting me and stuff. You know what I mean? Because again, as we've talked about, Rand didn't get it. He didn't get like part of the job is that it is. It's part of the job.
Absolutely.
If you can't participate in that part of the job, you don't understand the job.
Especially on the Nashville, Tennessee scale.
Right. So that's to me, like, is this coming from someone who actually thinks that this can be like changed or
managed?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, nothing's changed in my life, and I don't expect anything will.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't really asking about your life, but yeah. Okay. All right, that's fine.
Well, that's what I don't know if you know this about me, but that's what I care about.
Yeah, I understand.
I read the media policy sheet where they wanted to codify some of these things that had been, you know, kind of out there but not on paper. And I look at it and say, how does this affect me? So, like, one of the other things in there.
But you need to think about the greater good, Paul.
Well, I believe me, I fight for the greater good. But I read on there, you know, they want notice if you want to talk to a guy, make a request. Well, then we think, well, we have to request everybody. Then you talk to them, and they go, nah, that's more like if you're looking for a guy one-on-one or special occasion kind of thing. Well, that's fine. You know, initially we think, well, I got to put out, you know, initially I sat down and I wrote a memo. Well, here are the 8 guys I'd like to talk to in the next 2 days. Also, if somebody picks off Cam Ward twice, I'm going to want to talk to him. You know, and they come back and say, oh, that's not really what we're looking for. You can pick off anybody that you want to talk to. If you want, you know, special time with somebody or anything, you know, we'd like to help you accommodate that.
Okay. All right, so we've talked about, you know, 2 days. There are limitations. Defense winning, not surprising. That's typically how it goes early in a camp, right? No pads, so very hesitant to really care too much about this. But there's still lateral movement. There's still blocking, so to speak, in some of these team periods. Your early impressions on the offensive line?
I mean, I think it's been all right. There have been already, you know, some blitzes. You know, there was a play, I don't remember which day, yesterday maybe. It's one of the 2 days, Joe. Roger McCreary kind of flew in. No, it was the first day. Flew past Cam, who kind of shrugged and then hurried something to Ridley up the left side that fell incomplete. So, already, you know, on the first day, a DB coming at him who didn't get thrown off track, who gave him a problem. So that's not maybe that's an offensive line thing, but that's beyond, you know, blocking the front. I was watching Dan Moore yesterday, who I thought did a pretty effective job. Is certainly more authoritative presence over there than his predecessors. But, you know, it's hard to tell anything. It's not even easy to tell once the pads are on, though you see more one-on-one-ish blocking periods, which are more definitive in terms of clean wins and clean losses, though everyone doesn't have a green check mark and a red X. But, you know, Cushenberry not being there is something that's going to affect that whole deal. And then again, you know, every year we get into this thing, you know, if a unit does well, does it mean that unit's good? Or what does it say about the opposing unit?
Right.
You know, that's why Tampa Bay and Atlanta will be telling.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If there was ever an offensive line, especially tackles, that was going to be propped up by camp, it would be this one based on the edge group it's facing, right? Like that. I mean, if you ever wanted to build confidence for a pass blocking group, boy, is this the right defensive front to, especially because given the way these camp practices go, like the Sweat Simmons, you know, I mean, they were going to block him when pads are on and stuff like that, but it's still different than a real game, right? You know what I mean? Like those guys in real football, you hope would make a lot of difference for the edge guys. But, it, you know, you may not even be able to tell that. when they're just going in team periods. Like you said, when they do the joint practices, that will matter. So the Titans pick up Jihad Ward. They cut Keandre Coburn, which...
That's not a one-for-one. A lot of people think it's a one-for-one.
Right. But no, I understand. But I guess my question is, Keandre Coburn's like the 91st. Like, no. Aren't you cutting like your worst receiver or corner at this point?
You should be cutting the worst player on your roster. I don't understand this move. My perception is they thought, well, we know Coburn's ceiling. We like these interior guys that we have, and we want to give them every chance to impress us. Well, Coburn's ceiling may well be better than what you get out of these four guys that you're looking at. So shouldn't you keep him around? He played pretty effectively as your interior guy. He's a run stuffer who can play with success.
Is he like way out of shape? You know, to me, it's like
I don't know.
Something.
And they liked him as an influence on Sweat.
Right.
I thought it was odd, and I think he'll get picked up somewhere. I've heard some rumblings about Seattle on Twitter. I would think Vrabel maybe would have some interest in him, if depending on what they've got on their roster in New England. But it was a surprising cut when I got wind of it early before they announced it. And I hope it's not something they come to regret. I do think generally you can find big run-stuffing guys in the middle, you know, backup interior offensive linemen. Lynch, who's not as big, he's more a Sebastian Joseph Day type, but he's made a couple plays. He's a Blake Bedingfield guy. Blake really likes him, and I think he's had a good start to camp. I like his chances to stick around, but again, he's not the Sweat guy. He's more the Sebastian Joseph Day guy.
Right, right. And of course, there is also talk about how they are getting bigger in general in the front. Callahan talked about that.
Can't get much bigger than Coburn.
Yeah. So that's it. It seems like one of those more to the story type situations. All right, when we come back, Robbie Rexer, we're going to talk about the guy everybody wants to talk about. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexer, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Speaking of media stuff, we were just talking about this during the break, PK. But the whole ESPN buying the NFL Network, concerning to you?
Yes. It would. I mean, I think there could be a good – I mean, more is better. I don't want people out of work. But a consolidation of insiders might not be the worst thing ever, so that my Twitter feed doesn't have 20 people saying Justin Fields hurt his toe. I'm not averse to that.
Well, let me cut you off real fast. By the way, I saw some people saying, I think it was Nick Wright, because everybody's like carted off. And he said, from now on, beat writers need to distinguish. Wrote a cart off or carted off. Do you agree with this?
I'd like that specific, sure.
Because carted off is like you are immobile. It does bring to mind you're screwed. Whereas if you're like, all right, let's just put him on the cart and who knows. Although it still could have been an Achilles, right? I mean, yeah. It could have been an Achilles and he rode the cart. But okay. All right, continue. Sorry.
But look, if they have that kind of relationship, you know, ESPN is then tied to the NFL more than it's ever been. I think things like ESPN's good work on the union issues recently is going to gradually fade. The same way we saw Behind the Lines go away pretty much with, their best journalistic people just kind of shoved to the side.
Yeah, although that, I mean, isn't that, though, more a symptom of people just want Stephen A. Smith and someone screaming at each other and, like, they just watch that more than they do?
Well, is that people wanting it or is that them deciding people want it?
I mean, I think the numbers obviously support these shows that I can't
stand. This goes back to my thing. And the issues of this on Nashville radio and Nashville media and media everywhere.
Do you give the people what they want? Do you give them a half an hour on Treylon Burks? Or do you give them what they should have, which is something better that you see at practice that isn't easy red meat? You can at least find a mix between the two. You know, saying phone lines are open.
You think people want a half hour of Treylon Burks?
Well, I know there was a half hour of Treylon Burks. Andrew did a half an hour on Treylon Burks yesterday.
Oh, good.
All right. So, or so I was told. I didn't hear it personally. But throwing open the phone lines and saying, what do you think of Treylon Burks? And I'm not saying that this is how Andrew's thing came about. I don't know what prompted it. But we could easily throw open the text line here and say, what do you think about Treylon Burks, and get people for a half an hour to bitch about Treylon Burks?
This is true.
It's pretty easy red meat sports radio. Instead,
you keep saying red meat because you're just trying to.
That's pretty.
You're trying to make my gout flare up just verbally, aren't you?
That's pretty easy mead sports radio.
There we go.
Gout is mental, Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
And instead, what I think we seek to do, you don't always hit the mark, is to go somewhere else. I'm out there, right? The last 2 days, people are mostly doing.
I mean, give us some souffle, man. Give us some fancy stuff.
People are mostly doing practice-y reports, right? Well, I don't want to do the same practice-y report everybody's doing. So I went out for the first practice, and I had a mission. Everybody's going to write about Cam. Well, I'm going to write about Cam's timing. Because the Titans put out a show about minicamp, and in that they talked a lot about how timing is the key to this whole thing. So I'm going to watch him from a timing perspective, and I'm going to ask a lot of questions about people about how timing is the thing. Now, this backfires a little bit because I get a lot of good answers on timing. And so other people who are writing about Cam say, oh, well.
Oh, let's let me do some timing
good stuff
too.
About timing here. So for at least two other people, their Cam story turns into a timing story. Well, that's a risk you take. Yesterday, I know the quarterbacks are grading their throws. And so I dug into the grading of thing. I don't want to do a specific, what happened at practice as opposed to here's something they do out of practice. They're going to take that
having
practice.
Having a plan is much
better. And they're going to grade all of those throws. And here's what the grades mean. And here's how they come to a consensus on the grades. And isn't it interesting that, when they throw a D throw, that's what produces an A catch for the receivers. And so ideally, everybody's doing that instead of, so the thing that might feel like it gets you the best ratings or is the best thing is also often the most boring, easy thing.
Yeah, sure. Of course, there's whatever you want to call it, red meat, low-hanging fruit, and I think it is a balance. Sometimes you do.
And I miss on it plenty of times, and some days you just don't have something and all of that.
But, yeah, I think a plan, a plan going in, you have to also be willing to change this is now the
something
story of the
happens,
day.
Or you don't get your guy.
Yeah, but
how many times have you gone to a practice and you're like, I'm doing this, and then you don't get the one guy who's central to that, and you're screwed.
Right, right. Text line and phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Join the conversation. A lot of different thoughts on a variety of things. One of them, I want to make sure I get to this because Ed says, first half hour gone, no mention of PK's 30th anniversary. So this is your 30th anniversary. Is that right?
30th camp.
This is your 30th?
29th with the Titans.
30th. Okay, 30th. That's right, because you're first with the Raiders, right? That's right. So there you go. Congratulations, PK. Big 30. And you tell me you're not close
Somebody
to death.
Asked me if there was, I tell you I'm not close to death. Somebody asked me if there was cake, and there clearly was no cake.
Anything?
This is the first public acknowledgement of it outside of me texting somebody.
Would you like some wasabi and soy sauce almonds?
Absolutely not. Why are you carrying those around?
That's just a nice snack to have handy. Santa in Portland asks, they're going in tomorrow. Do you have a little time to talk about what we can expect? Haven't been to a live training camp for a long time. Well, if it was Vrabel, you might expect a series of punts to try to make
downing
everybody
punts.
Hate the Tennessee Titans. Yeah. But
Vrabel once held maybe the most miserable practice. It was like a big – It felt like a big FU to everybody.
I don't think he got enough crap for that.
It was the day after they practiced that centennial, and they were tired, and it was early in his tenure, but they practiced downing punts and, I mean, all of the worst.
Shaking hands after a game.
Minutia, standing for the national anthem.
Tying their ties.
They're going to do at least some red zone work. And I think Callahan said virtually every practice now will include some third down and red zone work. Now, red zone work is obviously much better if guys are in pads and it includes some red zone runs. But you should see some balls thrown into the end zone from you know, relatively tight quarters that require.
Yeah, red zone periods are fun. I mean, red zone periods, I think, are fun in there. And they are. I mean, this is where you make your money, right? As a quarterback, as an offense. I mean, everybody, like, this is where the games are won or lost, really. So,
and red zone 7-on-7. Red zone 1-on-1s are fantastic. I don't know if we'll get that. Red zone 7-on-7, you know, you'll see fades and quick routes and stuff. And you're going to see a lot of touchdown throws or a lot of great defense if guys can break it up. It's high percentage scoring situations, obviously. So that would be the best thing to look for, clearly.
I mean, basically, Santa, you're going to get about an hour and a half practice, and there's going to be some boring periods, and it's still pretty casual and chill. But some of those things I think are – I think they're interesting.
Yeah,
right?
And they're usually –
if you care about this football team.
Very good about signing autographs. So if you push your way up to the first row somewhere, you will have – some kind of interaction with somebody. Now, it's a matter of luck if you're in, you know, Jeff Simmons area or Allie Gay area, but it's just the way it works.
And if you're in Jeff Simmons area and you see Andrew around there, just, you know, give your space. Just be ready. Head on a swivel, you know. May need to, like, back away a little bit. Texter says, can we talk about how Kevin Winston Jr. is actually ready for camp, not on the pup list? How often does that happen where this organization says someone will be ready by a certain time and they actually are? LOL. It's actually a good point.
I don't know. If we went back statistically, I mean, most guys who have an ACL surgery on his timetable are ready.
Seem like a rare, like, good news moment for injury stuff with the Titans, right? Like, the injury stuff has been crazy for the last few years.
Snead should be ready. A knee cleanup in May is a six-week recovery timetable for most people. Now, we don't know how many cleanups he's had of that knee, and the more you have, the longer it takes. The knee's clearly a problematic thing. They knew the knee was a problematic thing when they traded for him and thought, we'll have him ready for Sundays, and that's what matters. And as hard as it is to accept that that's still the way they're approaching it, they have no choice but to approach it. I don't know why there needs to be a conspiracy that last year the knee was the holdup. Clearly, he had a quad thing that required a procedure that he called surgery. That slowed him down. He had both issues last year, but the knee was going to be something that he could manage and play. It was going to cost him probably a couple games.
Do you feel like
he missed all but five games? The quad was the major issue last year. They're not allowed to lie about it. If they get caught lying about it, they get in trouble.
Right.
And the Titans abide by NFL rules, like, probably too much. They're, like, really, really sticklers on
it. Yeah, I hear you, but I would also say, if at some point, like, I agree. Obviously, the quads was a real thing. But if you get to a certain point last year and the season is circling the drain, and maybe if you were in a playoff hunt, if you were a good team, do you not think the quad could have been okay to play at some point? And maybe they're like, with those knees, bag it. That's, you know what I mean?
He was in a brace on January 2nd in the locker room telling us that 6 weeks prior he had the quad procedure. He was not in a position to play. I don't know why we're looking for lies when they're being more candid about injuries than the previous regime ever was. I mean, if you want to find some injury lies, go back to Vrabel to find them. But there's no indication that Callahan and Ran and Brinker were being were lying about injuries. They're more forthcoming. Callahan opens press conferences talking about injuries and guys being out. Why are we suggesting with no evidence that they're making up stuff or switching, covering their asses about the knee with the quad? He had the quad.
Yeah. But again, what I just told you, I don't know that really qualifies as lying, right? It's basically like, what's the point at this point, right?
Well, your boy's saying he had the knee all season and they made up the quad to cover for the knee. What is that? Why is there got to be a conspiracy?
Do I have to answer for everything he says?
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into Cam Ward, and we got some different voices on Cam Ward that I want to get PK's thoughts on as well. Robbie and Rex Show, 1025, 106.3 The Game. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 1025, 1063 The Game. Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie. We haven't talked a lot about Cam Ward. It's 2 days, ups, downs. What, he threw a pick to Cody Barton, almost threw another. Cody Barton seems to just have his number, huh? That Cody Barton.
It's interesting because Cam is very good in the middle of the field, and Cody Barton obviously is lurking in the middle of the field. And on the pick, it was hard to tell who he's going for. Like, there was no consensus amongst us watching who the target was, so that made it an especially bad throw. Van Jefferson seemed to me was the deepest, most central receiver, but it's hard to know who he was throwing for. And it was kind of an alarming play. It was also the first play of 7-on-7, so like you're just settling in to watch, and boom, all of a sudden.
You got a pick right away.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah. Barton is very opportunistic. He said he kind of saw something the previous day that tipped him off to be ready for that and to see it. He should have caught the other one later. Which would have been a pick six for sure. And so Cam obviously has to tighten up on whatever that is.
Nice job.
Tighten up.
That's right, baby.
Tighten up.
All right, we've got a lot of people out there in the NFL. I do feel like, Paul, I've now heard about a million people say, no one ever talks about Cam Ward. And I'm like, actually, I do kind of hear quite a few people talking about Cam Ward. And actually, in the NFL at large, there are conversations about Cam Ward. Let's start with DVD yesterday. Lewis Riddick was a great guest yesterday,
well,
I thought.
First off, it was a big story nationally, apparently, that Cam Ward took the starter snaps at opening day of the thing. That was a ticker headline and a report,
really?
At Pro Football Talk. I mean, who the hell else was taking the starter snaps?
I mean, I guess it's like this general idea of, is this particular rookie gonna be a, but yeah, I mean, if you, again, that's a great example of like not knowing the Titans roster at all. Like, yeah. It's not even around here. We don't even talk about that.
Attention to Cam Ward.
Interesting point. All right, let's listen to Lewis Riddick on DVD yesterday. We know Lewis Riddick has been bullish on Cam Ward, but I thought he had some interesting stuff. Here's Lewis Riddick on DVD from yesterday.
I'll just say this. I think what you'd want to see is, okay, so a natural progression from his college days at Miami, which leads you to make sure that you are playing as on time and in rhythm as you possibly can, so you're not putting yourself in harm's way, so you're not exposing the ball, so you're not, you know, doing some things in the pocket that you were able to get away with in Miami that you're not going to be able to get away with in the pros. And quite honestly, it could get you on the IR list in a hurry if you do some of those things. So you want to see that. You want to see him being able to see the full field. You want to see him distribute the football effectively. You want to see him be great on third downs and be in the top, you know, the top 10, top 15 in the league on third downs, in 2-minute situations, in the fourth quarter when they're behind. All of those metrics, all of those areas that really you judge quarterbacks truly by. Like, completion percentage to me, without factoring in difficulty of throws and, you know, yards per attempt, doesn't mean anything to me. You want to see the advanced metrics be where he's in the top half of the league. Because if you can do that, if he can do that, being a rookie, especially with all the new pieces that they're bringing in there, a lot, all the young wide receivers that they brought in, the new wide receiving core, the offensive line has to take shape. Then, I mean, again, you're really, really going. You really are. And it's not impossible. We've seen other guys do this. We saw Jaden Daniels do it. You know, we saw C.J. Stroud do it. You can hit the ground running and have people going, damn, I didn't expect that. Now, that may be unfair expectation, but he is the number one overall pick. And I do believe he has that kind of talent. So I think to see those kinds of things, to me, would denote a successful season, and ultimately for his team to be, you know, fighting for a 500 plus record.
So that was Lewis Riddick. Interesting. Now I want to quickly pivot to another prominent NFL media voice with some thoughts on Cam Ward as well.
If you're out at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, which is where they hold their training camp practices, you're going to hear two voices as soon as you step out on the field. You're going to hear Jeff Simmons and you're going to hear Arden Key. And that's going to be consistent all day long. And in the time that I was there, you never really heard that voice come from the offense, just in terms of just the chirping. You got guys here and there that'll chirp back. But you're going to hear Jeff and Arden talk every day, all day. Well, now the Titans have a guy, a competitor in Cam Ward, that is going to chirp back, and you'll probably hear his voice now first above those other two, and even though those guys are vets. So I think they're getting the ultimate competitor. I think Cam is extremely intelligent, and just his ability to not only pick up the offense, but be able to process it and then have an opinion on, you know, on plays and formations and things that he'd like, you know, to implement. And he has a head coach in Brian Callahan that is going to give the quarterback a voice.
First off,
Rand Carthon.
If you ask me,
with some Cam analysis,
who am I least interested in hearing assess the Titans in all the world?
Really?
It'd be Rand Carthon,
the guy who largely put this team together. You don't think there's any insight whatsoever from Rand Carthon?
Well, let me say this about his insight. He seems to think chirping is important. He's talking about no one on offense chirping. And he's responsible for 2 years of offensive acquisitions for that offense. So Rand Carthon,
he didn't find enough chirpers.
Rand Carthon, who continues to not get it, there gets on the air and waves his hand with a red flag in it and says, look at me, I still don't get it. I'm going to be critical of the Titans' offensive personnel because they have no chirpers, and I'm the chief guy who put together the Titans' offensive personnel. So I love Jeff Simmons and Arden Key being out there chirping, but my God, that team doesn't have any chirpers on offense. How could that be so? Without having a mirror, there's no mirrors anywhere in the Carthon household.
You know, and maybe instead of we need guys who love ball, we need guys who love chirp. We need guys who love chirp.
It's just, I don't want to bash him. But every time he opens his mouth.
Oh, yeah, you do.
No, I want to be done with it. But it's so stupid for him to go in the media. I mean, John Robinson at least waited a long time. So, you know, he wasn't saying things. This guy had to go in the media. It's a stupid hire to hire this guy to be in the media.
All right, well, we can react to that. I do want to get into the very important coaching aspect of all of this, too. Second hour coming up, Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.